How would you like to be as productive as a Google executive? Well, that could be within reach because the person in charge of training those executives is now offering her tips and tricks to the rest of us. Laura Mae Martin is Google's Executive Productivity Advisor. And for more than a decade, she's been coaching employees on everything from conquering their inbox and calendars to running top-notch meetings. In her new book, Uptime, A Practical Guide to Personal Productivity and Well-Being, Laura brings those strategies to the wider world, and she joins us today to share five of her key insights.
I'm Laura Mae Martin, Executive Productivity Advisor at Google. I coach Google's top executives on time management, energy management, and email management. In my new book, Uptime, I give big picture ideas on how to be more productive, plus the nitty-gritty tactics on how to get it all done and live well while doing it. Here are five big ideas from my new book, Uptime, A Practical Guide to Productivity and Well-Being. Big idea number one, do your email like you do your laundry. Forgetting about email for a second, let's talk about something that most people understand, laundry. What if I asked you to go to your dryer and do your laundry and it looked something like this? You open the dryer door, you pick out one shirt. You fold that shirt, you walk all the way upstairs and put it in your dresser drawer, then walk all the way back downstairs. You find another shirt, you do the same. You fold it, walk it upstairs, walk it back down. You find a pair of pants that seems a little damp, so you throw it back in with the dry clothes. You find one sock but don't feel like hunting for the other sock, so you just walk all the way upstairs and put it in your sock drawer. You find a pair of pants, oh, wait, that's the same pair of pants that you had already touched and put them back in again. You panic every time you need a specific piece of clothing because you don't know whether it's in the dryer with all those other clothes or you forgot to wash it or you put it away. All day, you open your dryer, check your dryer. Even if you don't have time to fold or hang clothes, just to remind yourself how much laundry you have. And at the end of the day, you decide you don't really feel like emptying the dryer. So you just turn back on the cycle and start over when new clothes are added from the washer in the morning. How inefficient is this? Talk about a waste of energy. It's a terrible, stressful way to do laundry. Yet, this is how many people are doing email. We throw wet clothes back in with the dry or mark as unread. The dryer is never empty. We never achieve inbox zero. People look at their dryer all day, waiting to see if there's anything they need to do. We're checking email too many times. And you wake up in the middle of the night, no idea where that pink shirt is or where that email from your boss went. So what can we do when we're doing our email? Instead, we should treat sorting, reading, and answering emails as different activities, just like folding, hanging, and matching socks. We address everything in the inbox at one time and put it into piles, like things that need hanging, things that need folded, and socks, or things we need to read, respond, or review. We do a whole pile at the same time. We read, and get the benefits of batch tasking. We also match the time that we have to do things with the energy we have for those baskets. So at a particularly low energy moment, I might just read articles, whereas during my high productivity time, I might be able to review and respond to more emails. This simple mental shift, followed by a change in the structure of your inbox, can make a huge difference in how you feel on top of your email. Big idea number two, designate hot spots and not spots. Why do some people listen to the same piece of classical music to focus or fall asleep? Why do many authors write their book in the same seat of the same coffee shop? Or why do so many of us have difficulty switching from a work office to a home office? It's all because of the same thing, state dependency. State dependency refers to the fact that our brains take in so much more than what we're doing. They get context clues like where we are, what we smell, what we hear. That information is stored in our brain and associated with what we're thinking about or doing. When we recognize that our brain is associating certain places with certain tasks, we can manipulate that tendency to our advantage. The reason it takes no time at all to slip into work mode when you go in the office every day is because so many other conditions were lined up before you even got there. Your commute, your desk, your office, your chattering cubemates, your favorite coffee mug. All of these things were cues to your brain that are consistently associated with work and grease the wheels before you even sit down at your desk. You can create physical hotspots in your life for different types of work. This can be done whether you have multiple locations for hybrid work or even if you work in the same spot every day. You create a task location pattern, like I always do expenses at my window chair. I always read product design documents at a coffee shop. I always respond to emails with a cup of coffee at my desk. Similar to hotspots, you want to create not spots, safe places for your brain where you never do work or difficult tasks. You just relax. I have a spot in my room that had no real use case, so I put a chair and a half there and a coffee machine. That became known as the cozy corner, and I started to never do any work or anything other than relax there. Now, when I sit there, my brain automatically goes into relaxation mode. It's only used to sitting there and thinking about nothing or thinking about relaxing. And so by saving that space as a safe space where I never bring my laptop or my phone, it's a place where I can easily slip into relaxation. Creating those hot spots and not spots can make a huge difference in your overall productivity and mental well-being. Big idea number three, prioritize downtime. It's actually the key to uptime. Uptime in the computer world is any time that a machine is on, operational, and productive. I define it as the same in your world. Finding your uptime is finding that feeling of being in the flow, on top of things, productive, creative, and well. It's a feeling of calm accomplishment. Many people think of downtime as the opposite of this uptime, but they really go hand in hand. Just like your computer needs to shut down, reboot, and restart to avoid burnout, you need the same. We actually require those times of walking the dog, working out, vacations, breaks between meetings, times without devices, blank space on our schedule. All of those things are needed to refresh and process information. They're also needed to have time for new ideas to come. If you're listening to a walkie-talkie, you can't press the button and hear what's coming from the other side. So we have to stop working, stop thinking, stop focusing in order to hear those ideas that are coming to us. Without those types of breaks and that downtime, we can't sustain uptime for a long period. Not to mention that downtime is routinely cited as the best time for creativity. Your greatest ideas are more likely to come to you when you're on a walk, on your commute, cooking dinner, than they would on your 10th back-to-back meeting of the day. You have to allow for this downtime in your schedule to fuel your own propensity for big picture thinking and inspiration. Big idea number four, find your power hours, then protect them. There's so much buzz around time management. We want more time, need more time, not enough time. But so often we block the time on our calendar, let's say 3 to 4:30 to work on a new project we need to get done. We wrap up a meeting and we sit down around 3:08. We check our email real quick. It's 3:15. A chat comes in and causes us to pull up another tab. It's 3:45. We really need to get started, but we're feeling low energy. We do one slide of the presentation, then we realize we forgot to respond to something that feels easier to work on. Soon it's 4:15. Oh no, now we only have 15 minutes. Is it even worth getting started on this project? In this situation, we actually made the time for that project. We had 3 to 4:30 blocked on our schedule. But was 3 to 4:30 the right time? Most of us have a general sense of our power hours, which is the daily time slot that we naturally find ourselves more focused, alert, and strategic. If you know you're not a morning person, your power hours likely do not fall between 7 and 10 a.m. To really specify what those hours are for you, you can keep a productivity journal at your desk for a few weeks, and anytime you're feeling that particularly in the zone feeling, take a note of what time it is. You'll start to see a pattern. You can ask yourself also, if I had a full day tomorrow with no meetings or interruptions, but I needed to get work done, how would I structure that day? And what time would I set aside to do focused work? The slot that you choose is probably your natural power hours. Once you've identified your power hours, you want to do whatever you can to keep those hours blocked for strategic, focused work. Keep those hours clear of low-energy meetings, administrative tasks, or catch-up chats. Even blocking your power hours 1 to 2 days a week can make a huge difference on how on top of it you're feeling of your work. I keep my power hours blocked every single Wednesday and Friday, 9 to 11, no exception. I never get that feeling of being super behind or stressed because I always know that I have some time coming up to really get things done each week from my priority list. The important thing is that this is not just any time you've blocked, it's the time that you'll feel like doing that type of work. because blocking 3 to 5 p.m. 2 days a week would not have the same effect on my overall productivity because I would not be doing my best work in those time slots. In the example above, you can see that slotting a project in that time between 3 to 4:30 was not my power hours, and therefore I did not get good results or stay focused. Being intentional about your power hours is how you match time and energy to ensure excellence in execution. And finally, big idea number 5, plan for future you. Psychology tells us that we all have a disconnect between our current selves and our future selves. When we try on clothes at the store, why do we think, I don't love it now, but maybe I'd wear it later? Won't we be the same person later who also won't want to wear it? When we're asked ahead of time to schedule a meeting on Monday at 8 a.m. the day we return from a 2-week vacation, we think, sure, add it to my calendar. But do we actually envision future 7:45 a.m. us that day trying to make that meeting happen? We schedule 6 big meetings in a day back to back, but are we walking through how that future version of us will feel at the end of that schedule? Instead of planning for who we are now, we want to be constantly planning for our future self. If we're always asking, what will future me wish that I had done right now? We find schedules smoother, our priorities crisper, and our output more effective. I challenge executives to ask, what will future you wish you had scheduled or not scheduled after that 4-hour meeting blocklet next week? What will end of year you wish you had spent more time on, less time on? What will parent with grown-up kids say you wish you had prioritized more during these early years? The book goes through countless ways of using this mindset for anything from priority setting to calendar maintenance and decision making. These 5 big ideas are just a touch of what I cover in my new book, Uptime, A Practical Guide to Productivity and Well-Being. If you enjoyed these, you will enjoy so much more of the tactics and exact recipes I give for how to achieve this feeling of uptime more often in your life. I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Laura. That was Laura Mae Martin with 5 big ideas from Uptime, A Practical Guide to Personal Productivity and Well-Being. You might also like our book by Ford, Slow Productivity, The Lost Art of Accomplishment Without Burnout by Cal Newport. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a productive day.